welcome once again to the Irish in Sweden podcast, my friends. My name is Philip O'Connor. If you're listening for the first time, you may not have known that, but you know it now. If you're listening every week, you'll have known that very well. And you'll have known that I wasn't well over the last while, but now I'm feeling a whole lot better. So I'm hoping that normal service will be resumed. And we'll be back to dropping our podcast every Monday morning at 7 o'clock, bringing you all the news from the Irish community here in Sweden. And it's gas, lads. After the clock's going forward there, you can really see the difference. Things are starting to ramp up now again. Now, you've kept yourselves busy over the winter with the ski trips and the Rugby World Cup and all sorts of stuff going on. But it's really now that you can see in the springtime that the community is coming to life again, and it's great to see. And that's what this podcast is all about this week. It's packed with information. I'll tell you straight away who's on it. No sense beating about the bush, lads, right? So I was down talking to Aaron Kennedy. You'll remember, Aaron's been on the podcast a couple of times. It wouldn't surprise me if he's been on almost as much as Michelle Cotter and a few other people from the Swedish-Irish Society. But he's been on to talk to me before about fitness and about diet, and he worked as an ordningsvakt, which is a bouncer here in Sweden. So he's been on to talk about that a couple of times, because the rules are quite different here for how you should behave and that kind of thing when you're in a pub, and what you can do and the powers that these guys have and what have you. So he's been on to talk about that, because some of you who are sort of here temporarily may not be aware of these things, and you know, we want to try to keep us out of trouble as best we can. Some of you are going to get into trouble anyway. Look at, you know, I was never God's best child, as they say myself, but to be forewarned is to be forearmed. So at least you know then when you're getting into these situations what you can expect from it. But Aaron has a new gym on the go down towards Odenplan. So I said a few weeks ago when he was opening it that I'd drop in there, and then of course I got sick and then I was able to get in there. So we have a chat with Aaron coming up, and then there is an art exhibition coming up. Pin the ears back, lads, right? Not much time to get this sorted out. It's on Thursday, right? It is on the 18th of April. So if you want your tickets, listen carefully and you'll find out all about it, and you can get down there. Quite exclusive at the Ambassador's Residence, if you don't mind. So that's not the exclusive, and the Ambassador's fantastic in terms of bringing the community into our home and hosting events like this, but it's not the same thing as going to one of the big museums or one of the big galleries where you can have hundreds of people in there, and if one person shows up unannounced, it doesn't make any difference. So you kind of have to tell people in advance before you go. So that is coming up as well. Before we get to that, as I mentioned in the last couple of weeks, we've had some new sponsors. Some of the big Irish companies have been talking to us about sponsoring the podcast, and we're really delighted with that. We're hoping to announce some of them soon, and I'd really like to thank them and to thank you for your continued support in making this. There are times when you're sitting, you know, on a Friday night or a Saturday night or a Sunday night trying to get the podcast out, and you're thinking, is it really worth it? And something always happens that makes it worth it. Somebody says something, or you do an interview and somebody says, "Jeez, I really enjoyed that," or "I didn't know that about that person," or "I'm delighted I heard about that business. That's exactly what I need. That's exactly what I want. It's the kind of thing I want to do myself." And every time somebody says that, we keep going. So it's myself and Aunt Morrissey over there in Gothenburg. Aunt has been great in terms of the discussions with the potential sponsors. If you want to get in touch with us about sponsorship, Aunt Morrissey is the man to look for. And indeed, if you're looking to grow your business at all, Aunt Morrissey is the man to look for. An absolutely tremendous partner to have in this. Myself and Anthony have this sort of consulted relationship where he helps me out and I pay him for his time, but he's just an absolutely brilliant character to have. And I know he has a few hours to fill, so do get on to him. And if you're listening to this and going, "I don't have any need for Anthony's services," that doesn't matter, right? Because you might be working in Enterprise Ireland or in Bord Beer or in Tourism Ireland, or you might be working in, you know, Norland, or you might be working in one of the cities here who need things like that, who need English speakers with tremendous marketing and communication skills, which is what Aunt Morrissey is, right? So do get in touch. The other news we have is that our good friend Molly Breen, who's been working with us for the last 6 months or so, Molly is going to be moving on to pastures new very shortly. You might remember that Molly came over and she worked at the Irish Chamber of Commerce in Sweden's gala dinner last year and the market or the networking event there during the day. And she was looking for a job at the time, and as with many people, she was struggling to get a Peugeot number and struggling to get a start. So myself and Aunt stuck our heads together and said, "Yeah, Jesus, we'll put you to work." And Molly did a brilliant job. And you always know when you employ brilliant people, you're not going to have them for long, lads. Like, I'm not exactly Bill Gates, if you know what I mean, you know. So I couldn't exactly pay Molly a huge sum of money, and she was only working part-time and that kind of thing. And sure enough, it only takes about 20 minutes for somebody to spot the potential of somebody like Molly and say, "Right, you know, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to give her a full-time job." And that has happened, and she has announced that on LinkedIn herself. So she's going to be finished up fairly shortly. But I just want to go on the record and say thanks so much to Molly for everything she's done. Having a young woman coming into the business and poking us two elflas and saying, "No, you should think of this. We could do that. You you know, would you like this guest, would you like that? Because she worked on the Global Gale podcast as well and was absolutely brilliant. She actually presented the episode that we did, and I just landed that on her. So we presented the episode that we did for International Women's Day, and it was just fantastic. And it's great to see somebody putting their roots down in real time and growing and things going well for them here. So a huge thanks to Molly for what she has done. And she, you never know, if we start making millions in the future, we may very well have to employ her again. If you do want to support the podcast, lads, I don't have the Swish number to hand because I'm trying to put this together as quick as possible. A whole day's work to do on a Sunday as you're listening. But what you can do is go to patreon.com/Aeroman in Stockholm. I'm always very grateful to the companies like Veerstrom's, the support that we've had in the past from the Irish Chamber of Commerce in Sweden, the Swedish Irish Society. Hugely grateful for that, right? And some of those people will be with us forever. But for me, the sort of business model of media at the moment is going to be that thing of sort of micro payments, right? So when I go back to when I lived in Dublin and I would buy like 2 newspapers a day, which, let's say it was £2, you know, when I was working on building sites or working in offices or what I was doing, right? And that's money now that I don't spend anymore. So what I tried to do is I tried to support other creators on Patreon. I'll tell you exactly who they are. I support Blind Boy, and I support the Second Captains and Steve O'Timothy, the Irish comedian, and there's one or two others in sports spaces and that kind of thing that wouldn't be that well known. But I pay for that content because I do think it has value, and I do think that the long-term security for people like me and podcasts like this is in you as the listener, as the consumer, as the person who enjoys this, sticking your hand in your pocket for a few bob. And again, that micro payment, that sort of €5, which is it's about the price of a half a pint in Sweden, never mind the price of a pint, you know, but that really makes a much easier. So if we have enough people doing that, then I don't have to worry too much about, you know, if a company pulls out of Sweden, doesn't have any interest in staying here anymore, you know, they might not be interested in staying supporting the podcast. But if you're here and you're living here and that kind of thing, and you keep it ticking over a fiver a month, that just makes my life much easier. I've never been one for sort of, you know, hiding behind the marketing speak. I try to call it exactly as it is and to tell you what I need from you so that I can give you what you need from me. So that's the lie of the land at the moment. Listen, who we take for it? I think we'll grab Aaron first, right? Let's have a listen to what Aaron Kennedy has to say, because he's very much, there's a lot of Irish people starting to go down to him there now in Odin Plan. And part of the reason that's so exciting is it's not just PT, right? It's not just going in there and lifting the weights and jumping up and down, running on the treadmill. He's doing what's called submission wrestling as well, which is something that I've been doing for years, right? It's basically getting down and grappling and that kind of thing. And it's the best crack in the world. It's just unbelievable. It doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter your body type, your fitness, or anything else like that. It's just deadly crack, right? So just get in there and get a few sessions under your belt with Aaron. And sure, look, there's no point me telling you about it. Let's let Aaron tell you about it. I'll be back very shortly after Mr. Aaron Kennedy. Aaron, let's have a little wander around. We're at the FSA gym. It's Vestmannagatan 52, and you're in the process of turning it into an expat gym at the moment. Is that right?
I think that sounds like a good idea, to be honest.
It wasn't by design, though, was it? Just a whole bunch of lads started to turn it up.
All of a sudden, the Irish lads showed up, and it was like, right, that's the idea. We'll go for that expat gym.
Well, the first Irish lad through the door was here. It was you. How did that come about? Because I remember we were talking before. You're going, oh, I'm thinking about this thing now. These lads have offered me the opportunity, right? So do you want to take the story from there?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose long story short, it was like I met a couple guys and they took me into their gym. We started training, started clicking pretty well, and they started to see that, you know, I was pretty invested in what I'm doing, you know, the martial arts thing. And yeah, they were just kind of like, you know what, we're thinking about branching out, so do you want to split ownership of a studio?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, I mean, why not? That's like a dream since I was a young kid.
Yeah.
So decided to do it, and guess what? We're here. So
here we are now. Yeah. We're standing in this beautiful reception here. We're going to take the pictures for Instagram. We're going to do a little bit of video later and that kind of thing. Did this look like this when these lads offered you this opportunity, or was there still a whole lot of work that had to be done?
No, we got it fully renovated, actually. So painted everything, got the bathrooms done, got the entire gym like reset up. We knocked through a wall. So yeah, no, we've done a lot of work.
You've done a lot of work. You had to renovate the whole place yourselves,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right, let's take a walk through. I'm going to follow you, right? And you can tell us and tell the listeners where you're going. There's locker room one, there's locker room two, there's little lockers there with keys on it, hair dryers and everything.
God, almighty. Yeah,
not that I won't be troubling.
Gym with a hair dryer.
I tell you, I won't be troubling anybody with a hair dryer now. Right, now we've moved into, there's a lovely mat space here, lovely soft mats for when you throw me on the ground later on. A load of mitts up on the walls, and we have the mirrors here as well. FSA Workout Studios. What's the sort of the timetable look like here? Are you here 7 days a week from 7 in the morning killing fellas, eh?
Well, the good thing is they've got a couple of consultants that are working with me. So we've got submission wrestling, we've got mixed martial arts. We basically got lunch classes every day and we got evening classes every day as well. So we're working for the morning slots, but that's not there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a special kind of dedication to go and get your ass kicked early in the morning, I found. You
know? 7 a.m. at night, like.
Yeah, no. So when you talk about the lunchtime classes here, how many people would you have on average turning up to the mats here? Is it starting to get popular with submission wrestling?
So the evening times are getting popular.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah. Like last night we had 10 people, which is quite a lot for being open for less than 2 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Lunch classes, we're starting to get it. Like I've just got a few more people coming in, like regulars, but... like I said, we've been open 2 months,
yeah.
So we're trying to get those lunch classes.
So building towards that then? Yeah,
yeah, it's a slow process. I expect by the end of the year, that's whenever we're going to be like fully functioning, you know?
Yeah, and you're getting the members in. Of course, there's always that thing as well of, you know, you have to pay the bills. So how are you paying the bills at the moment? Is it the submission wrestling, which is something that's so close to your heart, or is it people coming in for PT hours, or we're not paying the bills at all?
Might also yeah, be we're not paying the bills right now. No,
we've all been in that situation.
Yeah, no. Let's just say we have an idea of how we're going to pay the money right up until the end of the year, and then hopefully by the end of the year, the gym's running itself. That's hopefully how it's going to go.
Yeah.
So lots of PT. Other PTs here are working as well, so we're all chipping in a little bit.
Now, this isn't the only FSA gym in the city. In fact, it's not even the only one in this area. There's another one at Bunyahooset. What's the concept behind it? Because it does seem to stick out in terms of being both a martial arts gym and somewhere where you can go to lift weights and do your strength and conditioning as well, you know? Is that the whole idea behind it, that it's that kind of crossover?
So, essentially, the one in the Bunyahooset is a one-stop shop for recovery and performance. So, you can go there and you can utilize all of their gym equipment. You can utilize their martial arts coaches, and you can also use their masseuses, their cryotherapy, their red light therapy, their food, everything to just sort of go relax, but also kick it up a gear.
Yeah.
Here, studio is more whenever you're looking to evolve slightly as an actual athlete. But the thing is with the word athlete, when I say that, like you have to understand everybody is an athlete. It's just how you choose to become one, right? So for example, yourself, what, you're a ripe old age of 42 or something?
Fucking 53 this summer, pal. Almost dead.
Almost dead, exactly. But like, I mean, you're still training jiu-jitsu, right? You're still acting like an athlete in your own right.
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea what this is about. If you're looking to delve in to really dig deep and find like what you can produce from yourself, then this is the place that you come to.
Yeah. About that, right? Because a lot of people are listening to this and they might look at the TV and they'll see the UFC or they'll see that. And, you know, Senator John McCain famously called it human cockfighting at one point, right? One of the things that I think most people find it hard to get over is how physically intimate this kind of training can be, right? When you have a big sweaty, beardy fella like myself, yourself, with their nose up into your ear, that kind of thing. How do you help people get over it? Or is it just a case of you have to get through that because otherwise you're not going to last here?
A bit of both. So the funny thing is like one of the best ways that us society have forgotten is rough and tumble play.
Yeah.
We have forgotten that rough and tumble play is a cornerstone of how we developed as like tribes people and like human beings, right? You recognize, even if you have kids and you see your kids, all they're doing, especially boys, all you'll see, they're just grabbing each other and wrestling each other and running around like madmen. And whenever you come in here as an adult, yes, at the start, you might be like, this is kind of disgusting. But all of a sudden that changes and you forget about it. And the next thing you know, you're literally having the time of your life. Like, just running around with all our sweaty people.
It's funny though, because it's really hard to explain to people. You and I will go to a pub somewhere, right? And we meet somebody who doesn't do jiu-jitsu. We go, oh, jeez, you have to do this. The best thing. And they're looking at you going, are you out of your mind? You know? Do you remember the very first jiu-jitsu class you ever went to, or a wrestling class you ever went to?
Yeah, I do. Well, the first class I ever went to was actually a striking class. And basically the first time I did that, I thought I was a bit of a hard lad because I came from Belfast.
I mean? There's a lot of lads out there who do that, all right, yeah?
Yeah, exactly, right? And then I basically was up against some owl fella that like looked like just someone's dad, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And basically I threw a kick, and as I threw a kick, I fell flat on my arse. And as I fell flat on my arse, like everyone turned around and started laughing at me. not in a way to bully me, but in a way to be like, yeah, we've been there before. You know yeah. what I mean?
Welcome to the gang.
Welcome to the club. Like, and I hit the arse. I was so embarrassed. And then from there, it was just like, right, I'm never going to let that happen again.
Yeah.
And it was just like a straight through. And that was what I found in submission wrestling.
Mm.
Yeah.
Explain the joy of it. Now, you've kind of gone into it a little bit about, you know, rough and tumble and play and that kind of thing. When you're rolling with somebody on the mats here, what are you doing? What are you thinking about when you're doing that? Can you be free? Can you be in that flow state that athletes are looking for? Or do you find yourself really having to concentrate and to think and to work out problems as you go?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Me, personally, I've been doing this for 15 years. So now it's just a situation where like I can just enter flow from the get-go and I can just fully enjoy the task at hand whenever I want to. But if you're a newbie or a beginner trying to learn it, it's going to take a considerable amount of concentration for you to get over that first learning curve.
Yeah.
Right. But something happens because you learn every single time you come here and you start to recognize that like problems really can be solved with your body. And it becomes incredibly addictive once you start to succeed. And that's why this whole like train, this hype train of jiu-jitsu is coming along. That's why people are seeing it everywhere.
Yeah.
It's because it is good. It is good for you. It's good for your mentality. I mean, it transforms lives really at this point, like, doesn't it? And it doesn't really matter what age you are. As long as you just come in, get on the mats, and everybody you go with, they recognize you. All you got to do is be like, look, first time, second time, third time, whatever it is. And everyone respects that because they've all been there.
Yeah. There was a thing on last Saturday as we were talking at Stockholm Stadion, and they called it Gubrull, which is like, you know, elflas rolling in jiu-jitsu and geese and all sorts of things. 400 men turned up. 400 registered for the event.
This?
In Stockholm Stadion, I think they have some sort of wrestling mat or something up there.
Jesus.
Maybe it might be part of the boxing club as well. And 400 people registered to go there and do it, and huge pictures and everything coming out of it. So it certainly is a sort of a growing thing. If somebody is looking towards this, right, because one of the things, when you, as a gym owner, right, you're looking through somebody coming through that door. And if you get the right person coming through that door, they're going to be giving you their money for 15 years, Aaron, right? So how do you keep them here? Because a fella like yourself, when you went to that striking class the first time in Belfast, 9 out of 10 people don't go back when they've been sort of humiliated like that, or when they've been taken down a peg or two like that. Special people like yourself do. What's the thing that keeps them coming back to you? How can you keep them training?
That is a fantastic question that I'll probably spend the rest of my life trying to figure out.
Oh, we can answer by December and the bills have to be paid.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, okay, so you mentioned like a special kind of person like me. I had a certain kind of attitude where I was young and I just wanted to win, right? But I think ultimately what it comes down to is just acceptance. I think whenever you walk in here and you recognize, no matter who you are, what background you got, what job you got, whatever it is, you'll be accepted. And whenever you can get sort of accepted into like a crew of people that are all out for the same sort of passion for something, it just molds very well. And you form, I hate to say this because everybody says it, but you form like a family basis around a gym.
Yeah.
Right? And
but I mean, there's a reason that that's a cliche. It's because it's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know, if you go back to the great boxing gyms in Dublin, in Belfast, in Detroit, in New York, that's how they work. It's a family thing. People feel
that
they belong.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of building that community, you mentioned the expat lads. Who comes here to train with you? Do they have to be stockbrokers and bankers, or is it sort of, you know, everybody who comes here?
No, it's everybody. Yeah, that's the best thing about it. Like, you, it doesn't matter what your background is. You can be a father, you can be a mother, you can be young. It really doesn't matter. It's just, you just have to come in here. Number one, drop your ego when you walk in here, because nobody else is going to have one with
or
you.
Or it'll be dropped for you.
Or it'll be dropped for you. Exactly. I'm trying to be kind of
diplomatic
is the right word. I'm trying to be like, yeah, but yeah, it will get dropped for you. You have to recognize that it's a physical sport at the same time. But I forgot the question.
I was saying, like, you know, how do you keep people coming through the door? Like, you know, how do you make sure that they stay with you, you know?
Yeah, it's acceptance. That's what it is. Whenever you come in, you'll be welcome with open arms, and then you'll be put flat on your back, and then you'll be taught how to defend yourself.
For about 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you do get up off your back for the first time, it's absolutely revelatory, you know?
Yeah.
You're running, like, because this is not the only thing you do, okay? So mixed martial arts,
martial arts, submission wrestling, jiu-jitsu in the gi, a whole lot is there, personal training and that. But you're also doing these seminars that we've mentioned before on the podcast to do with breath work and cryotherapy and those things. And on your Instagram the other day, I saw you wearing a fantastic pair of trousers. Are they those pressure trousers that sort of inflate and deflate and chill your legs and that kind of thing? Yeah?
The compression trousers.
Compression trousers, yeah, they were the ones, yeah, right? You have a seminar coming up at the end of April, is that right?
Correct.
So,
yeah.
Give me the details.
Yeah, so basically it's a breathwork seminar, right? If you haven't tried breathwork yet, honestly, there's also a reason why there's such a hype train around that at the minute. Mm. It is honestly transformational for your lifestyle. It transformed my life and the people I've worked with. It's just been so crucial for getting on top of stress, improving focus, improving sleep. I've never met anything like it except martial arts. Mm. To improve my mental health. So basically I'm trying to spread that. And there's a seminar now at the end of April in the Bonnier Hoosett, the HQ of FSA, that we're gonna have a large deep breathwork session for everybody to come and experience. Mm. But on top of that as well, we also have a cryo chamber. And within that cryo chamber, you're gonna experience like severe degree of cold. So it's minus 87 degrees.
Bit nippy.
It's a bit nippy, is right. But it's very manageable and very doable. And combining both of them together is like a invigorating way to like rejuvenate your mind and body. Mm. And by the end of it, you're just going to feel completely on top of the world.
The breathwork thing as well, we have to note, it's not just something for sports, right? This is something you can do on the bus. It's something you can do in your daily life to take control of anxiety and breathing and that kind of thing as well. Is it something you find yourself doing when you're off at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, walking down here to the gym to open up?
Yeah, it's crucial. It's been a staple of what I do for my own mental health, especially with children. So it's a situation where, like, if you're an athlete, you can improve your performance and your recovery. If you're not an athlete, you can help it to improve your performance and your recovery. Mm. It's just two different styles of performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one way or the other, there's sort of benefits to be had, even if you don't do sort of, you know, very strenuous exercise the whole time.
Well, I mean, okay, well, ask yourself this question. Do I ever experience anxiety? If that's a yes. Do I ever experience stress? Is that a yes? Do I ever experience brain fog? Is that a yes? Or brain fog? Is that a yes?
I think that's a definite yes.
I think you just got it, didn't I? Do you ever experience poor sleep? Do you ever experience lack of focus, lack of drive? Mm. That's what breathwork helps.
Yeah.
You'll do breathwork and you'll find all of those symptoms, all of those problems slowly start to dissipate and you become far clearer within who you are and what you're trying to achieve, basically.
If we zoom out a little bit, because you mentioned it already, yourself and your partner had a baby there recently. Was it a boy or a child, as they say?
It was a boy, yes.
It was a boy. How is that going for you so far?
That's bloody amazing, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean? It's like when you first get them, you're just like...
Talk about the learning curve, I suppose.
Talk about learning curves, right? Like, but honestly, you just... It's like, maybe this is a bit deep, like, but it's not often you have someone in your life that no matter... how you feel about your day, every single time you see them, they just bring you pure joy.
It's that simple.
And it's that simple. It's just so nice. It's so nice. Like,
and how do you manage then? Because it's not that you had a strict lifestyle. So you're not a monk by any stretch of the imagination, but you used to go to bed early. You used to get up early. Having a son, is that now sort of, you know, does he fit into your routine or do you find yourself having to fit into his?
That's a great question. It's been a problem I've actually been trying to overcome. So just before he was born, I was getting up at 4 a.m. every single day to work on my business before my day even started. Mm. And I was getting in about 3.5 hours before everyone was even out of bed. And that stopped. Immediately. Immediately. Yeah, that's done. Basically, that's done.
You can't, you know.
No, but you can't. You can't. I mean, it's just everything's a phase of life. And this is just a phase of life that I can't get up at 4 a.m. anymore. Simple as that. Like,
yeah. And would you be getting up at sort of, you know, the unholy hour of 6 a.m. now instead kind of thing? Or how is he? Does he sleep all night?
He sleeps all night, but thankfully I have an amazing wife who's doing the majority of the night routines for the both of us, so I'm very appreciative that she's able to do it, because I can't.
It's one of those things that gets forgotten about, because like you come to Sweden, right, and say you get married and you settle down, you have a child and that kind of thing, and if you're employed somewhere, oh, you have your papa ledit and your paternity leave and you have your 80% of your salary and everything's great, but if you're starting a business, it's kind of not that easy. So you're going to have to basically soldier through now and hope that, you know, you can take whatever time you can get at the end of it, yeah?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like right now, it's like nothing is promised for me. So it's like I am grinding every single day with everything I have to achieve some degree of stability for my family.
Yeah.
And my wife also knows that. So that's why she's happy to take that sort of like extra work in that scenario so that I can do this, so that ultimately we can all just flourish and go.
Exactly, yeah. Be good for the whole family kind of thing.
It's good for the whole family, isn't it? You know?
Speaking of which, we want to make this into a very much an Irish family place, as we mentioned at the start, an expat gym. How do people find you? How do they sign up? How do they come down? How do they fail the first time? How do they find the courage to keep coming back?
Great question. So first of all, I would love as many Irish expats in this gym as I could.
Fill the place with them.
Honestly, I swear to God, like I've got a few already and it's the best crack ever. And it just leaks out to everyone. It's just, that's what I want. So basically, if you're looking to come here, number one, you can find me on Arky Performance on Instagram, or you can just look up FSA Studio and you'll find it. Now it's in Odenplan, Västermanegatan 52. And you can just come in whenever you like as well. And you can
so it's
in.
Really convenient for the tunnel bana. There's a few places around you can park, Sabbatsberg, Krukhus, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's so central, but not so central like that you won't find a parking space. So it's perfect. All you got to do is get off the Green Line and Odenplan and you're here.
If people come down here for the first time and want to try it out, what do they need to bring with them? Right? Do they need, you know, shin pads, and do they need like a gum shield and a helmet and all that kind of thing? Or can they just show up in their shorts and a t-shirt and try it out for the first time?
Yeah, all you got to do is get shorts, t-shirt, and you're good to go.
That's it. And it's been absolutely brilliant, as always, talking to you. And the next time I come down here in about 2 weeks' time, hopefully it'll be 30 paddies here doing submission wrestling. But for now, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you, man.
There you go, the legend that is Aaron Kennedy. And you know what? Oh, hold on a second now. I might not be able to make it this Thursday because of this event in the embassy. But certainly Thursday week, I am going to do my best to get down to Aaron Kennedy's gym there. And it's called Rolling. When you're wrestling like that, we call it Rolling. I'm going to go down there and have a few rolls with the boys and see what the story is. And you know what? We might even bring the microphone. We might even get a few lads involved. And one of the other things, we get on to another subject of sport in a second now, but one of the things that I found which was very useful, I started doing what's called Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu when you wear the big pajamas, and it's called submission wrestling when you don't, right? But when I started doing that, I started doing it in like 2016 because somebody recommended it to me, because my back, I struggle with my back a lot, and it's made my core an awful lot stronger. And I still have the odd problem with it and that kind of thing. I'm not going to say I don't, but what I would say is it's an awful lot stronger now than it was when I started doing it 8 years ago, which is remarkable when you consider how old and decrepit I am in general. Listen, loads of stuff going on, as I say. I think as you're listening to this on the 15th, Monday the 15th, it'll be out. On Tuesday the 16th, it's the Bloomsday gang are getting together in Stockholm to read from Ulysses, right? I think that's part of the Swedish Irish Society / Spuds and Still cultural wing of the Irish community are getting together to read a little bit from Ulysses. I was actually talking to Mark Ennis the other day on the phone about something totally different, and Mark is somebody who is another Dublin man like myself, and you would have heard him reading from Ulysses on Bloomsday on occasion on this particular podcast, and it's just a lovely thing to do as well, you know, for people who maybe aren't into sport or that, to get together. Ulysses is one of those, you know, widely revered as one of the greatest novels, if not the greatest novel ever written, but it's not the easiest book in the world to read because Joyce was both a genius and a madman, I would say. I've only ever read his short stories, really. I've never made it through one of his novels in its entirety, but it was very well worth going down there because, like, you know, it's one of those books that you can't take everything literally. Some things you have to go, okay, I'm never going to understand that and move on. But in general, those who have read Ulysses will tell you that it's a great experience. And it's one of those books that you can keep going back to. So if you're interested in doing that, or indeed kicking off something similar in your area, because the fascinating thing about Irish culture is, lads, there's so many people other than ourselves who are interested in it. You know, you'll always find people who are interested in Irish music, in Irish literature, in Irish dance. And oftentimes they don't even bother us at all. They just get on with doing what they're doing with their their book clubs and that kind of thing, you know. So it's well worth checking that out anyway, with the rest of the gang and the Bloomsday crew who are getting together to read from Ulysses. The first Gaelic football tournament of the year is on the horizon. 27th, I think, of April it is, down in Copenhagen. A little bit earlier this year, and that's because we're going to be having hurling rounds, we're going to be having football, we're going to be having all sorts of Gaelic games happening here in the Nordic region. But it's an early start to the season. So the Stockholm Gaels are back training anyway. I know that down in Malmo, they were already playing a bit of international rules and they've been training away and that, you know. So it's going to be a good old day. And I'm telling you well in advance, lads. And the reason for that is, if you live in, like, Trelleborg, or if you live in Lund or Helsingborg or something like that, only across the bridge, lads, or the little bit of a ferry in Helsingør. Throw the kids in the car, right? Grab a bunch of those Yiflar or a couple of Caniel Bullar or whatever, right? Throw them in there. Flask of tea, flask of coffee if you're into that kind of thing, if you've gone completely native. And come across and watch, because there's always a bit of a barbecue going on, there's always a bit of food to be had, and there's always a whole load of Irish people, and there's some people of loads of different nationalities who are ready to play a bit of Gaelic football. And it's all going to be going down on the 27th of April. I was going to say August. 27th of April, down below in Copenhagen. So if you follow any of the clubs on Instagram, and it's a great way to keep up with the communities, to follow the various different societies and community groups and teams on Instagram, right? You'll see the dates will be cropping up and that kind of thing. So I'm sure Copenhagen GAA will have something on their Instagram. So come along and sort everything out. Let us get to Arrivals. Arrivals is the art exhibition that's happening in the Ambassador's Residence this Thursday, and we have had Carrie and Sarah, who are sort of the two who are putting the whole thing together. We had them on at the very start of the process when they were looking for submissions, and now we had them on just before it, and I'm going to drop in there now on Thursday evening as well, and to attend the actual exhibition itself and to talk to the artists and what have you. That'll be our podcast for next week, I would say, right? But I want to get them on because when you're taking part in community organisations like this, I wanted to follow the process, right? Because there's a load of you, like me on the Instagram, lads, there's a load of you lurking there going, that sounds very interesting. But if I say anything publicly, I might be asked to do something. And that must be avoided at all costs, because I don't want to say I'm going to do something and then not be able to do it. You know yourself. But I wanted to give you the insight into what it is to be getting involved in all these community organisations and the work that goes into it. So here, I called up with Carrie and with Sarah on Friday night just to talk about how far they've come and what is expected this coming Thursday at the Arrivals exhibition at the Ambassador's Residence here in Stockholm. After countless mentions on the Irish in Sweden podcast, now the official broadcast partner of the Arrivals exhibition for 2024, it's time to check in one last time before the event happens with Carrie and with Sarah Galligan. Girls, how close are we now to the event happening?
We're right there. It's on Thursday. So this is going out on Monday. So we're almost there.
And you don't look as nervous as I would have expected at this point, Carrie. What do you know that we don't?
We know how great all the artists are and how much work everyone's put in. And we're really excited about it. It's come together really well.
How was it, Sarah? When we put out the call here, and you put out the call, obviously, on Instagram and on social media, and obviously, you know, you two know everybody in the Irish community here, certainly a lot of people. Did you get a lot of responses? Was there a whole lot of people that you had to go, oh, sorry, not for you? Or was it a case of you were going around begging people to exhibit and this kind of thing? Were people being too modest?
No, we got a lot of responses, more than we expected, which was great. We accepted most of the submissions. There's a few people we had to say no, maybe next time. But it was great to see so many artists and creative people with connections to the Irish community here in Sweden. And it's definitely opened up a new network of people. And I think anyone that didn't get to join us this time will definitely be attending the event, which is something good that's come out of it anyway. And hopefully we'll have a bigger group next time.
Was there anything in the
submission?
There will be a next time. I kind of gathered that.
Confident.
Well, the next time we do this, go, okay, so she's obviously decided to make the news here. Bigger and better. We can't even get this one out of the way. We're going for it again, right? But was there anything, ladies, in the submissions that surprised you? Because sometimes when you do these things in the community, you go, yeah, there's creative people out there. Of course we'll get, whatever, 10 people. And then somebody does something and you go, whoa. Was there any of those, or was that the case with pretty much all the submissions this time around?
I think everyone surprised me in one way or another.
You were slightly horrified when you were saying that as well. Well, was it all in a positive way, was it?
Yeah, all in a positive way. I mean, all in a positive way. Just the talent and the versatility and the different types of artists and creative people that got in touch with us and that are going to be exhibiting on Thursday.
As a creative person yourself, Carrie, you have your line of textiles out there and you've so much other stuff that you're doing in that field. Did you find yourself getting sort of inspired by people who were coming in with suggestions for things that they were going to do? Or did you find yourself going, ooh, I wish I thought of that first?
No, I don't have the feeling of wish I thought of that first. That's not not quite how my brain works, but I love seeing other people's way of interpreting a brief or an idea. So how people have taken work that they've already done or something new that they've prepared specifically for this exhibition on that theme of arrivals and being able to show something of themselves around that theme has been really inspiring. And there's some beautiful work, there's some really unusual work, there's some really vulnerable work, and that's always inspiring to me, to see people putting something of their soul into the world.
An interesting thing about this is that am I correct in saying that the exhibition is taking place on Thursday the 18th of April? Is it in the ambassador's residence, is it? Because that makes it all the more special, somewhere that she arrived not too long ago herself. What has her input into everything been? Is she just hosting this and saying, right, girls, walk away, do what you're doing?
No, I mean, she's been so encouraging, as have all of the staff in the embassy. They have been really, really involved in, you know, having a look at the artwork with us, you know, helping us to make a plan for how we're going to set everything up on the day, making sure there's going to be nice wine and cheese there for everybody on the day. And Her Excellency Barbara Jones has just been such a warm and welcoming person to me particularly, and I think to this whole community of artists. I think she has a real heart for creativity and bringing people together. So yeah, we feel very welcome rather than just we're getting to put on the show there, that we're sort of part of the community.
How will it work practically, Sarah? Because you're going into somebody's house, basically. I'm not going to use the word gaff in connection with an ambassador's residence. That just wouldn't be correct, right? But you're basically going into somebody's house. And these aren't all, you know, sort of paintings or that kind of thing. There's the spoken word. There's all sorts of different things that are going to be in there, right? So how do you go about that? Have you sort of wandered around looking at her curtains and her wallpaper going, yeah, I think this picture would work well there? Or, you know, how is it going to be laid out for the general public to see, so to speak?
You'll have to come and see for yourself.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
No, but yeah, we've been into the space and we've had a look around, and Carrie done up a beautiful, very accurate floor plan. And we've sat down and we've mapped out the different rooms and walls and areas and planned out where every artist is going to be. So hopefully it all goes according to plan when we get into the space. But there's a lot of small little things to consider. But yeah, that's it, I guess.
Do you expect Thursday to be stressful, Sarah? Or do you think it's going to be, you know, you mentioned Carrie's brilliant floor plan and planning in general there. You know, do you think it's going to be stressful or is it just going to cruise along, would you say?
I'd say more exciting. Yeah, well, like, it's going to be a lot to do in one day, but I think we've planned it out very well. We're organized. Everyone at the that works for the embassy has been very accommodating and helping us. And I think everything's going to go very smoothly and it's definitely going to pay off. It's going to be a great evening.
We have had, we put out a shout out on the podcast and we put it out on social media. I know you've done it yourself, about tickets, ladies. How many people have applied for tickets? Is there still space for people if they want to go? And if so, how do they go about getting themselves on the list for the evening?
There are still some spaces on the guest list available. It is quite a limited number. And you can't get in unless you're on the list. It's very exclusive. So you need to email events.com@dfa.ie, and that goes through to the embassy team and then they will respond to you with a confirmation that you're on the list, and then they'll remind you also next week ahead of that.
I was going to say they checked the blacklist first, so there's still one or two people who aren't going to get in there. Thankfully, I'm no longer among them. So an email.
You're on my list, Phil. You're on the list.
Oh no, I mean the embassy's blacklist. I'm probably on your blacklist since the last time we talked. Never. So the email address, it's eventsstockholm. That's EVENTS and then Stockholm at dfa.ie. So you send off that mail the minute you hear this podcast this morning, lads, on Monday morning. Get your emails in there, right? When you look at the art that's going to be on display, right, there's going to be people listening to this. I always talk about my good friend Kevin Carroll from County Armagh sitting in his little carpenter's van, and he'd be thinking to himself, what business would I have doing there? What kind of art is there? How accessible is it going to be to people like me and Kevin who maybe don't feel like we know a whole lot about art or how to appreciate it? You know, what level is it at? Will we feel comfortable going there if we went?
Yeah. I hope everyone that comes feels comfortable, and it's going to be an engaging evening for everybody that comes. And looking at all the artists and artworks, I think there is a lot of pieces there that will be relatable for everybody. So I would say just come and see for yourself.
I think the theme of arrivals is something that's definitely going to be very accessible to everybody as well. Harry, how many people will be exhibiting stuff on Thursday?
We have 14 artists.
Holy smokes.
So we had said when we were looking for artists, we said maximum 10, absolute maximum 10, thinking we'd get 7. And we have had more than we needed. But
and there was a few that you had to turn down and say.
We did have to turn down a few, but we just the standard was so high. There's some really, really cool pieces. We've got some photography, we've got some paintings. We've got some written pieces. We have some textile work. We have an assemblage. We have some, what else have we got? Augmented reality in there on one of the pieces. So there's a really something for everybody. A lot of the pieces are for sale. So if anybody wants to bring their swish, come along if you're a collector. But there's some real great pieces. And almost all the artists, I think, will be there on the night as well. So you know, there to answer questions and take commissions.
Tremendous. It's one of those things that I've only really started doing since I moved to Stockholm, is going to galleries and watching artists like yourselves exhibiting their work. And it's something that, you know, I haven't learned a whole lot, but what I have learned has been really, really interesting so far. And just hanging out with creative people doing creative stuff is a great way to spend the Thursday evening. What time does the event start at, Carrie?
It starts at 6 o'clock and it finishes at 7:30.
Right. So, and we have to have the hoovering done and everything. Like, we have to leave the place as we found it kind of thing by 7:30.
Exactly. Come along, have a glass of wine. Our lovely friends at Thirst are also bringing some drinkies for us. We'll be there to celebrate with everyone.
Brilliant. Well, if you'll stick my name on the list, I will bring my microphone in there and we'll do our best to relate the events to the Irish community in Sweden. But before we do that, I just want to go back to what Sarah was saying. You're already planning a new event. Like, is this the Olympic ideal of higher, faster, stronger already? Or has that sort of taken shape? Or are you just going, right, well, I've learned something this time and I'm definitely not forgetting that for the next time. Do you have a date in mind? Do you have a place in mind? Do you have a theme in mind for the next one?
No. I think it's just we've seen so much potential, and now we have that list of artists and creative people that are available to do these types of events and stuff, and just making new contacts. There's just so many possibilities that I can't see how it couldn't happen, something on a bigger scale. But it's we'll get through this one first before we start setting up.
Exactly. As the Swedes say, rope ain't the hay. Don't be saying you're there before we get there at all. But it is brilliant. I'm going to declare this a resounding success before it even happens, because I can see it. You always know, Sarah only really gets this on the football pitch. When you see that, her eyes burning, you go, okay, there's something going on here. And I'm seeing and hearing about this exhibition. Arrivals takes place on the 18th of April in the Ambassador's Residence from 6 o'clock until 7:30. We promise if you come along, you won't have to do the hoovering. Eventsstockholm at dfa.ie will get you your tickets. And Carrie and Sarah, I'll see you there. But for now, thanks very much indeed for talking to me.
Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, Phil.
There you go. Two powerful women all together in Cardi and Sarah. I can't wait to see this exhibition and all that goes with it. And you know what? It just struck me as well that our dear ambassador, Barbara Jones, who everybody speaks so highly of, still hasn't been on the podcast, lads. Now, she did say to me, I met her when she came over here. She was very generous and invited me to meet her at the embassy, pretty much one of the earliest appointments that she had. And she said that when I have something to say, I'll come on the podcast. And maybe that might be this week. Maybe we might be able to corner her in the residence and see what she has to say about the exhibition and that kind of thing. That is it for this week. As I say, support the podcast, arrowman.com, or patreon.com/arrowmaninstockholm. If you want to throw in a fiver a month, I would very much appreciate it if you could do that. And let us finish with an apology to last week's guests, lads. Mark Bannon from Fellingsbro, who's currently doing so well on Robinson, right? I insinuated the absolute cheek of me. I insinuated that he, actually no, I just came straight out and said it, that he was from Cork. He is not from Cork. He is very much, always has been, and always will be from Waterford. And I have had no legal representations. He hasn't threatened me with legal action, although he probably should have, being that it was Cork I said he was from. But he didn't do that very generously. He gave me a chance to correct the record, and I'm doing it here. So I hope you're enjoying Mark's progress there on Robinson. And no doubt, do you know what? If he does win, I'd say the people of Cork would probably be proud, almost as proud as the people from Waterford. Now, right, that's it before I dig myself into another legal hole, right? We'll be coming to you, as I say, from the ambassador's residence this week, hopefully. Until then, until next week, have a great week wherever you are. I hope you're enjoying the spring and that the crack is starting to happen for you and you're getting outdoors and enjoying the fresh air and that. And until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and I'll be back again very soon with another episode of the Irish in Sweden podcast. Good luck.